is In the Fight, a Section 247 show presentation. Follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at In the Fight Show, on Facebook at facebook.com/In the Fight Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, 5 p.m. on the East Coast and 10 p.m. over in the UK, which means that, yes, it is In the Fight time on Sportinarium, at Sportinarium, and check them out at sportinarium.com, doing big things, putting on their own fight show, Battle at the Beach, on September 4th. My name is Brett Halpern. Yes, that's right. The captain is not here today. I am handling the ship, but do not worry. The hired gun is here. I am joined by Zach Mester. As always, we are a Sports Talk Philly partner and brought to you by Michael's Glass Company, 215-338-3293. You can check us out in the at In the Fight Show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We have our In the Fight Show group on Facebook, www.inthefight.net. All the links will be in the show notes. But most importantly, I am here with the hired gun, Zach Mester. Zach, how you doing, buddy?
Good to be here. A lot of stuff to look forward to, so I'm pumped.
Yeah, you know, as even the captain Mike Lipinski would tell you, the show must always go on, and we have tons of MMA and boxing news, and I also figure it's very appropriate that we had Zach join us tonight in advance of the Jake Paul Ben Askren super fight, if we shall call it that. We will get to that towards the end of the show. But to begin with, we've been getting into the celebrity boxing and everything else. But to begin with, we probably have to go over first, you know, UFC on ABC2. This was the event Saturday afternoon in the States. Would have been Saturday evening over in the UK. In the main event, Italy's own Marvin Vettori defeated Kevin Holland via unanimous decision. All three scorecards gave the fight to Vettori, 50-44. I feel badly because, Zach, I don't know if you remember, we did the yearly wrap-up show, and in that, I was incredibly high on Kevin Holland. And I'm like, he's the next contender. And since then, his fight game has gone to shit. So I think I put the kibosh on Kevin Holland.
You know, it always give it to a wrestler to show you where the fighter really stands in the division. And I think we found out, and hopefully he gets better.
Yeah, I like a lot of the jokes. I think someone said he should just spend 9 months in Dagestan. And they actually showed him with the Khabib beard, which, frankly, I think might do him some good. Supposedly, he's going to be working with Daniel Cormier. I hope he does. But nevertheless, we should actually give the shine to the guy who won, which is Marvin Vettori. So since losing to Israel Adesanya in a close split decision loss, he's gone 5-0. His most high-profile wins have been Jack Hermanson, Kevin Holland, and Carl Roberson. So my question to you is, do you think he deserves the next shot?
You know, it's hard just because we saw a similar fight a week or two ago with Brunson just doing similar damage and sort of gave him the game plan. And, you know, at times when they're on their feet, Vettori seemed like he couldn't hang, and I'm going to do what I need to do. And you know, Dana is not always a fan of that, which we all know. And that's not going to be the kind of performance that gets fans excited about bringing him into UFC pay-per-view main event against one of their biggest stars, a star who he's lost to before. Albeit a split decision. I don't remember it being as close as other people do, but I've said this before. I have to rewatch that fight again. So no, I don't think you're going to see him in that fight get that title shot. No.
So I generally agree with you, but the one interesting thing is, if you look at Adesanya's last performance against Blachowicz, it was his wrestling, which we all knew would at some point be Adesanya's Achilles heel. But so Vettori appears to have really rounded out his wrestling game. So I wonder if you could make the, you know, if we were the bookers for the fight and we were the promotional tool behind it. By the way, UFC, if you're hiring, you know, we're open to it. But, you know, you might say, look, he's got the exact same skills as Blachowicz. Now, granted, he's not as big as Polish Power. But so that's just the one argument to make, you know. But generally, I agree with you. But the problem is, and, you know, we're going to talk about this more when we preview Whitaker and Gastelum for this weekend. I really, there's no clear-cut guy right now for Adesanya at middleweight, which is a problem.
Right, and I think that's why we saw him go up. I know he had his eye on Cannonier. He lost. He beat Brunson in the top five. He beat Vettori in the top five. He beat Costa. He beat Whitaker in the top five. I really think we might look to the winner of the Whitaker-Gastelum fight.
Yeah.
And I know we're going to talk about this later, but they can sell it to you where Whitaker wasn't the same at that point medically coming off those Romero fights, and he got his mojo back. And I think they may be able to sell that. I would be more interested in seeing that over Vettori.
Okay, fair enough. So the other fight that I thought really captured at least my attention was Mackenzie Dern defeating Nina Nunes. Formerly Nina Ansaroff, she took the last name of her wife, the GOAT, Nina Nunes, via submission. She had an armbar in 4:48 into round one. So Mackenzie Dern's gone 3-0 in 2020. She first beat ranked Verna Jandiroba, and now she beat Nina Nunes. So, you know, I remember when Mackenzie Dern first entered MMA, it was kind of a, for MMA fanatics, it was a big deal because she was perhaps one of, if not the most decorated female Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner of all time. And look, she's easy on the eyes. So there's a natural sell there to guys. And her first ever fight in the UFC, I believe it was the headlining prelim. And the UFC Embedded spent a ton of time with her that week. So the UFC knows that they've invested in her somewhat. To me, don't you think it's time? I think we need to see her in a 5-round fight against a top, either a name or like a top. Now, Nina Nunes was number 5 going into this weekend, but someone who's in the top 6 and to me, like a main event of a fight night. That to me seems to be the next step. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Give me Ioana, fight night, main event, 5 rounds. Let's do it. I know a lot of people are calling for that. If not that, I think Esparza has been on a win streak. She's scrappy on the ground. That's something as a backup. But I think that would be a tremendous fight to look forward to, her and Ioana. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think Ioana would be a better matchup because of Ioana's prowess on the feet, which is still the one area where Mackenzie is sort of, I wouldn't say she's a fish out of water, but she's still in the beginning stages of her development with her striking. Whereas to me, like Carla Esparza, that's a terrible matchup for Carla because Carla, all she wants to do is ground and pound you. You do not want to go on the ground, whether on top or bottom with Mackenzie Dern. You are going to lose a limb or you're going to be unconscious. It's just that simple. To me, another name, if you can't get Ioana, I think would be good simply because of name value, is the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson. Because again, someone with stand-up prowess. I think that's the key for this next fight. And then after that, if she wins, I think you got to give her, you know, the winner of Zhang Weili and Rose, maybe. You know, we'll talk about that at some point down the road.
You would go right from a win over Waterson to a title shot then?
If she does what she did to Nina Nunez, if she does that to Michelle Waterson, yes. You got to, she's at that point, you got to strike while the iron's hot. I think it makes sense. Except, you know, again, this is something we'll talk about in a few weeks. If Zhang Weili defeats Rose Namajunas, I think she's going to want to go up to 125. So then the question is, does she give up the belt, or does she do like an Adesanya where she just temporarily goes up to 125?
Right, but does Dana not have his eye on an all-Chinese women's main event in that strawweight division?
Yeah, that's another – well, then maybe give Mackenzie Dern Yan Xiaonan. Because that would solidify either of them.
As a clear contender. Yeah.
So, but either way, to me, it's the 115-pound division in women's MMA, I think, is really fantastic. And it's great to see Mackenzie Dern elevate her game. The one thing to keep into consideration, though, is this was Nina Nunez's first fight after giving birth. And I can't even imagine the difficulties associated with getting back into that kind of shape after all of the changes your body has gone through. And Mackenzie Dern herself, her only professional loss was her first fight coming back from childbirth. So I wonder, you know, if perhaps, you know, we might see a bit, I think we'll probably see a better Nina Nunez the next time. And no, but, you know, I'm not faulting her at all. To me, I think it's remarkable that she's able to do that and very inspiring to women. So,
right. And it's funny. I actually thought she looked physically really, really good, almost better than I remember her before, which was remarkable.
Yeah. So either way, look, Nina Nunez is a mainstay in that division. I think on a good day, she could beat anyone in it. So, you know, it was a really good win. So we had mentioned it. I think, you know, let's do a deeper dive. This upcoming Saturday, we have Kelvin Gastelum against Robert Whittaker. This was supposed to be the main event for UFC 234 for the middleweight belt. And then, what, two nights before the event, Robert Whittaker's, like, stomach kind of, like, I forget exactly what the injury was. I think it broke through, like it was almost like a sports hernia, something of that nature.
It was like a life threatening.
It was life threatening, though. Yeah.
If he got punched in the gut, it could have been over, which was scary.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, fortunately, we're getting to see this fight. Now, I agree with you to a certain extent. Robert Whittaker was not the same guy that when he fought Israel Adesanya. He looked a little off. I would also tell you, I think Kelvin Gastelum has not been the same since he fought Israel Adesanya, which, by the way, was this past week, or on Tuesday, was the two-year anniversary of that fight. I don't think you know, they always say the great fights, you always lose something of yourself. You sort of pay a toll. And I don't think Gastelum has been the same since that fight. He's just a little slower.
What were his two losses? I mean, was it – he lost to Till in a pitter-patter fight that we saw at MSG where Till was running. And I don't think you could sort of say that he lost something there. It was a weird, awkward fight that wasn't really a fight to me. And then it was a fluky submission
Jack Hermanson.
Right. So was there another loss that I'm not forgetting where he just looked like a shell of himself? Because I don't agree with you on that.
Well, no, except I didn't think he looked very good in his win against Ian Heinisch. I thought he would have, you know, sort of, you know, just
dismantled him. Yeah.
Dismantled him, and he didn't do that. So, you know, so here we are. We have Kelvin Gastelum, Robert Whittaker. I think, and I agree with you, as you had mentioned earlier, I think the winner, even if it's Gastelum, can jump the queue because Marvin Vettori was not, even though dominant, was not flashy in his win. So, you know, how do you, you know, what do you look at? Who do you think has the striking advantage in this matchup?
You know, for the past couple of fights, I've doubted, since the Izzy fight, I've doubted Whittaker I just thought he was a shell, and he's proven me wrong. I'm gonna probably go with I'm gonna stick with him in this one. I would say.
Okay. You know, and it's interesting how I mentioned the whole concept of fighters sort of leaving behind a piece of themselves, because a lot of people think that's why Whitaker lost to Adesanya, which because of those two wars he had with Romero.
Right.
So it's interesting how both these guys have come off different kind of wars. You know, again, I think it comes down to which Gastelum do we see. If it's the Gastelum that fought Adesanya, I think he can beat Robert Whittaker. I really do. I just don't know if he's willing to put himself through the fire like that. I'm not challenging his manhood by any stretch of the imagination, but to me, he hasn't been as aggressive. When he fought Adesanya, that first round came out like guns blazing.
Yeah.
So that to me is it's a really interesting matchup. I have no idea, by the way, if it goes to the ground, maybe I would give the edge to Gastelum, because we've never really seen Robert Whittaker on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, with if Gastelum shows up how he was with Heinisch, maybe he thought to himself that this win isn't going to do much for me. But if he goes into the Whittaker fight thinking, well, maybe this win will do something for me and get me right back where I want to be, maybe we will see him come out guns a-blazing.
So maybe
there's that in his mindset.
That's a good point. Either so what's your prediction for the fight?
I'll go Whittaker in a split decision. Great fight.
I'm going to go Whittaker third round stoppage.
All right.
Yeah. So aside from that, are there any fights? I'm going to read to you the card.
Yeah.
You tell me if there's any other fights. I'm going to tell you a sneaky fight that I think is actually really important, and it doesn't, although it appears the UFC doesn't agree with me.
It's a prelim fight, isn't it?
Yeah. So I gave it away. It is a prelim. So the main event, the main card, we have the co-main is Jakar Close against Jeremy Stephens. Jeremy Stephens is dropping back down to 145. He's going up to 155. Andrei Arlovsky is stepping in on short notice to fight Chase Sherman. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan against Jacob Malhoun. Alexander Munoz against Luis Pena. Bill Algeo, who is a local Delaware Valley guy. I know he's been interviewed by a friend of the program, Bob Maloney from My MMA News, taking on Ricardo Hamosh. So then the prelim card, all right, I'm just going to give it away. It's Juan Espino versus Alexander Romanov. I actually think this is an incredibly underrated heavyweight match. Both of these guys, very good records, right? You have, 10-1 and 13-0. And I think that the winner gets ranked, and I think you're going to see the winner end up at some point in their career as a top 10 fighter.
Okay. And what kind of fight is that going to be? I'm not familiar with these two.
So they're both kind of they're both good with their stand-up, but they also have ground games. Romanov was the guy who, I don't know if you remember, I forget which event this was. Mm-hmm. Whenever he won, he celebrated by doing takedowns on his coach in the cage.
There's
like so many fights, you like they get lost in your head.
Yeah.
But he like did like hardcore takedowns on his coach.
Yeah.
So it should be really interesting. Either way, look, sometimes even though you may not necessarily have name value, it's still entertaining. So, you know, it's looking forward to it. In other UFC news, you know, sort of with very little fanfare, we changed from Reebok fight uniforms to Venom fight uniforms. What did you think of them?
You know, I really like the old hoodie, the old UFC hoodies with the name down. Right? That I feel like that's such a unique look. I'm going to miss that. You know, Otherwise, it was fine.
I was kind of disappointed because I was expecting a drastic change from right. what we saw, and instead, it looked like Venom tried their best to replicate what Reebok did. So I was kind of bummed about it. I mean, it didn't like ruin my evening, but
right, very you know. Very similar. Yeah, the trunks yeah. are very similar. Yeah,
you know, I kind of hope. I mean, it's a little tough because, like, at what point do you draw the line? You know, because you have guys who are making their promotional debut sometimes on 3 days' notice. But I hope at least for contracted fighters that each of them has the opportunity, I guess, to like go online and develop their own custom shorts. I always thought that is sort of to make it a little bit more individualized. That was something that Reebok was missing because it all looked yeah. the same.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
yeah.
Yeah. So, one of the big items, because last week was another, you know, was so busy in the news that Mike and I neglected to mention, is that the Ultimate Fighter is back. And the UFC has named featherweight champion Alexander Volkanovski and number one contender, well, technically, I think he's ranked number two, Brian Ortega, as the tough coaches. They'll be fighting later in the year after the season's filmed. They were supposed to be the co-main for UFC 260, and Volkanovski unfortunately contracted COVID, which is why the fight was scrapped. So do you like the pairing of those two guys as coaches?
They seem like pretty nice dudes. I know Ortega got into it with the Korean Zombie, right? They had a intense back and forth, which was odd for, I guess, both of them. Yeah. But no, I mean, listen, I'm going to tune in. I'm interested to see this on ESPN, yeah. right, for the first time. But, you know, I thought it was a missed opportunity, and I don't know what's going on with his injury that I think I saw pop up. But I thought Aljo and Jan rematch would be great coming as two coaches, considering the feud that's going on right now. There would be so much heat around that. I was hoping that would actually get, you know, they would be the two coaches. But, you know,
that would be great TV too, because you'd have Matt Serra and Ray Longo mm-hmm. as the assistant coaches. And those two, for those who have never seen those two guys in action, it is like comedy personified. They are for our friends in the UK, they're very typical for an area of New York called Long Island. they're just incredibly comedic. Have great timing. They're also very good coaches. They've coached Chris Weidman. You know, now they have their second champion, although, you know, controversial, in Aljo. But yeah, I mean, because of the neck injury, I guess that sort of postponed it.
Right.
To me, I don't feel the heat. When they had, back in the day, you had Ken Shamrock and Tito Ortiz. When they had Rampage and Rashad Evans, those were some of the best seasons when you have the coaches go at it. Even when you had Bisping and Mayhem Miller, when you have coaches that don't like each other,
yeah.
it adds another element to that show. When they get along, it to me, I think it detracts from it. So, and then the other thing is I don't like it's holding up the division. Now, you know, Volkanovski has said that COVID really beat the crap out of him. And yeah. I'm glad he's doing okay. But I would assume that if he entered into a training camp semi-soon, he'd be able to fight in like 2-3 months. Well, now the fight's going to be in 6 months. So, you know, if I'm Max Holloway, I'm pissed off.
Yeah, really pissed off.
Yeah, because, I mean, I literally broke the record for strikes landed on another human being. Who, by the way, what's his name? Calvin Kattar, you know he's still in like concussion protocol?
Oh, wow. Jeez, yeah. he took
beating.
His coaches should have got him out of there early. You know, that was yeah. a fight on ABC, and Max looked great in
yeah.
in prime time. It was
such a showcase.
Yeah. yeah.
So, yeah, either way, but I agree with you. I guess I'm always nostalgic towards the Ultimate Fighter because it was the original Ultimate Fighter with both myself and Mike. That's how we grew to love the sport. So I'm glad it's coming back. It's not the same as what it was. To me, I think the peak of the Ultimate Fighter probably was the Rampage Rashad with the Kimbo Slice. That was, you know, and since then it's gone downhill, and you haven't really had many contenders since that have come from the Ultimate Fighter. So that's the other issue, I think, with it. But nevertheless, you know, I'm happy it's coming back. So in other news, and you know, literally like every few minutes, you got to check Twitter. The Conor and Poirier, I don't think they're friends anymore.
Wow.
And their relationship went south quickly. So it appears, it seems like Poirier lobbed the first shot this time with the claim that Conor has not followed through with his $500,000 pledge, which he made during the press conference, where he was going to give the money to Poirier's nonprofit, the Good Fight charity. So Conor then countered saying, look, I'm willing and able to. We reached out to you, but you never gave us a plan as to where that money was going. I guess because, unfortunately, there are nonprofits out there and or other organizations where if you give money, it just ends up in the pockets of, you know, people, as opposed to giving it to people who need it. So what's your take on this? Are you happy about this? Are you,
you know? I am happy to see some fire back and forth. I hope it doesn't lead to them not fighting, as Conor suggested, which I think he's just playing with them. Hopefully, fingers crossed, he's just playing yeah. with them. As far as what they're the content of what they're talking about, it's weird because I imagine that Conor did request something that maybe Dustin and his people didn't know how to put together or deliver. But I do think that they probably tried to continue the conversation several times where Conor's people were just like, do we keep going with this? Do we really tell them what we need? I mean, I imagine the fault ultimately probably falls on Conor's side. But yeah, I'm more pumped for the fight.
Yeah, you know, it is super. It's incredibly exciting. You know, the one thing I felt that was missing from the rematch, the last fight, which occurred in January, it was they were too friendly with one another. The whole, you know, the pre-fight. Well, not during, obviously, they're trying to take each other's heads off. But, you know, right before the fight, after the fight, you know, Dustin's wife goes into Conor's room to thank him for giving the money, which he still has not given. And it's just, it wasn't Conor. You know, I know Conor's trying to be repair his image. But to me, during the fight, you got to have that dog in you. And that's what fans loved about Conor. I mean, yeah, he took it too far.
Yeah.
The Khabib stuff, then, you know, punching the old man in the bar.
Yeah.
The dolly. It went too far. But when he was on his rise to the superstardom that he is now, it was because he was talking shit. He wasn't a good sport to everybody. I mean, he was flipping the bird to Dennis Seaver, you know, during the stare down in the middle of the cage. He didn't, you know, he wasn't nice to everybody. So I just, I hope this lights a fire under Conor. But I gotta tell you, meanwhile, though, if you check his Instagram, it's basically like him wearing like yachting clothes, hanging out with his kids. And by all means, he has every right to do that. I'm not saying he shouldn't be a great father. But like, you know, the fight's in July, we're less than 3 months out. You're not training. You're not adjusting. You're the guy who needs to adjust because his game has not you know, what's the word I'm looking for, updated, transformed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we did see that video of him hitting the bag in the last week, and his stance seemed to be a little more karate style. I guess he did look more bouncy. That's the Conor I want to see, the Eddie Alvarez Conor, where he's bouncing all over the place like a lunatic. Yeah. Not standing flat-footed and relying totally on his boxing. I have to imagine we are going to get that. I mean, if we don't see that Conor, then it's just he's not trying. He's not focused. So and you know, maybe in that first press conference when we see him go at Dustin, we'll know the kind of Connor we're gonna get.
Or is this just Connor saying, look, there's more money when I have heat with my opponents, and he's like, look, I'm trying to make some money, and you know, Dustin recognizes this as well. So, you know, this helps up the pay-per-view buys by a couple hundred thousand.
Well, you know, okay, but Dustin throughout the first, you're saying Dustin was smart enough to give him the bait? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Then maybe they're laughing behind the scenes saying this is all bullshit. Who knows? And we're the dummies. But yeah. Good on them.
Yeah, that's true. So, you know. So a few things I just wanted to ask you. I know I hadn't mentioned this in our show notes, but have you been interested at all in the Bellator Light Heavyweight Grand Prix?
Yeah.
You know, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
So this past weekend, Ryan Bader, it was a rematch 9 years in the making, as Showtime called it. Ryan Bader defeated Lyoto Machida, and it was the first of several matches. This upcoming weekend, Phil Davis is taking on light heavyweight champion Vadim Nemkov in a rematch. And Corey Anderson, fighting out of New Jersey, I'm going to call him out on this. He's an anti-vaxxer, as is unfortunately most of the New Jersey fighters. It seems like the guy is from what I call the Frankie Edgar camp, which is rather frustrating. Sorry, I'm not trying to get political, but I don't know. To me, science is science, facts are facts.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, he's taking on a gentleman who, God bless, I'm usually good with names. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the guy's last name. I believe he's Russian descent. I know Corey Anderson's heavily favored. And then in a few weeks, we get to see Anthony Johnson against Yoel Romero.
Super pumped about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who, can't wait. So
I want to fast forward to Johnson Romero. What are your thoughts on that match? Because I didn't know if you'd be able to step in to record a show with me before then. So what are your thoughts on that matchup?
Well, Johnson, you know, Johnson's been out. So I'm going to go with the guy who's been around. I mean, simple as that.
You're going with the soldier of God?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because really the guys who have given Anthony Johnson, at least the light heavyweight version of Anthony Johnson, the most problems are wrestlers. And Yoel Romero is as good a wrestler as MMA has ever seen. Yet he still has not figured out how to use his wrestling effectively, which I find fascinating and utterly perplexing.
Well, does he get too exhausted? Because you see him and he's so economical with how he expends energy.
Yeah,
I wonder if he's just like, screw it. You know, I can knock people out. I'm just going to rely on my hands, and that's what's going to be.
I think so, but also you have to take into account that the previous matches, he was previously fighting in 185. Now he's at 205, so he's not killing himself to make the weight.
Right. So good point.
This should be interesting. I don't know. Either way, looking forward to it. You know, it's really, to me, I'm glad, and Mike and I had talked about this, I'm glad Bellator is back on Showtime. To me, MMA belongs on Showtime. You had Elite XC, then you had Strikeforce. There's always that presence. Mm-hmm. I love that Mara Rinal is there. Not a huge fan of John McCarthy, not Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. I don't really like him either. But you know, I think Mara Rinaldo just he to me is like the voice of Showtime, like Showtime Combat Sports.
Absolutely.
I just love the guy. So,
yeah.
It's then. So, my next question is, did you happen? Oh, sorry.
No, real quick. Do you have Nemkov coming out of this tournament as the winner? Who do you got?
I don't think Bader wins at all. Bader is not the same in light heavyweight than he is at heavyweight. He cuts down too much. I like Nemkov. I might, though, be I might say the winner of Johnson Yoel Romero comes out the winner.
Okay.
So that's my initial thought with that. Okay. It was also good that it was really interesting. The undercard this past Friday had two women who fought Ronda Rousey for the Bantamweight Championship. You had Liz Carmouche and then Kat Zingano. I think Kat is the best chance of someone on the Bellator card or the Bellator roster to defeat Cyborg. So I think that they should book that fight soon. I don't know why Cyborg is fighting. What is her name? Leslie Smith. That's just carnage.
Right. And they fought before, right?
Yeah. And that was carnage. That to me is not a fair fight. Were you able to check out one on TNT this past week?
Were you talking about the Eddie fight?
Yes.
And the
Demetrius
DJ?
Johnson? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about, you know, your feelings on bringing the knee to a grounded opponent into the UFC. But yeah, it was gutting to watch Eddie after that fight, and so weird to watch DJ lose.
So for those that don't know, ONE Championship, which is probably now the premier organization in Asia, made its United States debut on cable TV on the Turner Network. And the first fight was Eddie Alvarez against Yuri Lapikus. And Eddie Alvarez was disqualified within 2 minutes of the fight starting for blows to the back of the head. It was very close because supposedly if you hit the ear, it's legal. They were very close to the ear, but looked to be more in the back of the neck, that area of the neck right behind the ear. And afterwards, they were interviewing Eddie, and he really, as you mentioned, he was very emotional, just talking about, look, we're all trying to go back to our families. This is a fight. And there was footage of him afterwards, like against a railing, just crying because Lapikus had to be taken out on a stretcher. It's just so strange because it reminded me, in a way, of the UFC's debut on cable TV when they, now different because, but in the way that it was like a 50-second fight. And Junior Dos Santos knocked out Cain Velasquez, and that was it. Here, at least, you did have the second fight, which was Adriano Moraes, who was the flyweight champion, defeated longtime great future Hall of Famer Demetrius Johnson. And yeah, so that was what I wanted to talk to you about, is the grounded knees, which is something which is legal in Asia. I got to tell you, I'm okay with it. I don't know, though, if America has the appetite for it, because frankly, it could be a lot more brutal than what that was. That was not as brutal as other knees in that kind of, in that technique. So I don't know if commissions in the United States would be comfortable with that. That's the only thing.
The one thing that I think about is I feel like anyone can generate force with a knee to a grounded opponent.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you know, not everyone has the force in their hands. Not everyone has the force in their kicks, but like, you know, you just throw knees, you know, to a grounded opponent, you're going to do damage. I guess it takes skill, but there's something that doesn't sit right with me on that move.
I understand. It's really, it's always sort of been that, as well as the soccer kicks and stomping, which has been allowed over in Asia. Whereas in Asia, like for instance, Pride didn't allow elbows. So, you know, is that technique any more dangerous or whatnot? Well, obviously elbows cut. I think it definitely favors wrestlers though, because you need to be on top to really execute that technique.
Right, right. And could you imagine, you know, implementing that game plan where you're going to let someone maybe get up from, you know, a squeeze.
Yeah.
Just to knee them. I mean, it's happened though. Yeah. There's a lot of interesting dimensions to it. I just, you know, it's just, yeah. You know, it does seem like you said a brutal, brutal thing that maybe mainstream audiences will be a little.
Yeah. And it was weird to see, I know this is someone who was a little bit before your time, Rich Franklin coming out of nowhere to broadcast the fight and former middleweight champion. Mike and I actually attended the UFC event where he defeated the late Evan Tanner to win the middleweight belt, UFC 53. Tanner left on a stretcher. That was a beatdown.
Yeah.
But Franklin is, and he was picking an art. He had a huge argument with the other guy whose name escapes me right now because they were arguing over the disqualification. But either way, it's going to be back for the next several weeks. They're going to have more fights. I know, what's his name? Sage Northcutt actually just withdrew from his fight against Shinya Aoki, a former Pride standout. So a little disappointed in that. Although that was going to be a very interesting striker versus grappler matchup. But anyways, we've now come to the point of the show. I think this is sometimes, aside from the hired gun moniker, I think I might just call Zach, I think I might just call you the celebrity boxing expert.
Perfect.
This weekend, in addition to all of the great fights we've mentioned, we have a Paul brother spectacle. Jake Paul is taking on Ben Askren. The fight is available so on the Triller app, but I think you could also get it through Fight TV. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay. I looked up the price. I was a little disappointed.
It should be about $10 cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah. It's $49.
$20
for our UK fans. I apologize. My conversion, my math sucks, so I can't quickly convert that to euros. Nevertheless, it's still too much money in my estimation. I am on the fence about purchasing it because I know you're going to purchase it and you're going to be giving me a blow by blow of the event. So I don't know. I think I might give in. Part of me doesn't want to give the Paul brothers money.
Yeah.
Although I do want to give Ben Askren money.
Yeah. You know, I think this does really well. I really do. I think people who don't even care about boxing are going to pay to watch Bieber if they don't know how to illegally, stream it. But, I'm excited about this fight more so than
I know
some
you are.
Other real fights. It's so weird. I feel so bad for saying this. Sorry to your audience if you hate me now, if you hadn't already hated me before. But I'm pumped. There's just certain fights that you just don't know how it's going to look, like visually.
I understand that allure because when you have – so, for instance – what was the most anticipated boxing match of the past decade or generation? It was Mayweather-Pacquiao. You knew generally what it was going to actually look like. You knew it was going to be two high-level boxers competing against one another. You knew how both guys – you knew each other's styles. Whereas here, now, to his credit, Jake Paul has taken the boxing – training seriously. The last guy he fought knocked out cold, who was not a boxer though, we should add.
Yep.
And neither was he a combat sports athlete. It was Nate Robinson of formerly of the New York Knicks, a professional basketball player. So now he's taking on Ben Askren, who, as we discussed in a previous episode where you graciously filled in, Jake Paul was able to get the highest name and most celebrated MMA fighter, who's also the worst possible striker. And he cherry picked him.
Perfect.
To fight in a boxing match.
Yeah. It was perfect.
You know, so I guess one thing, and I was going to ask you about this, I didn't know if you knew about this. Are you aware of any clauses in the fight contract where, similar to, they had this in the Mayweather-McGregor, where if McGregor did MMA moves or was disqualified, lost a lot, like an extra amount of his purse. Do you know if that is in the cards here for Askren?
Right, if Ben tries to take him down.
I don't think he takes him down. But, yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I mean, he's definitely going to clinch him and dirty box him and maybe throw an elbow in there. But you can't prove an accidental elbow to an elbow. It would be too messy. I don't know how they would work that in the contracts. I think we would have heard about it like we heard about the Connor thing, right?
Do we know who the ref is for this?
That's a great question. That's a really good question. I wish I knew. Because
if it is someone who's only done boxing, I think that helps Jake Paul tremendously. I also think something else to look at, if it is a smaller guy, that's a problem for Jake Paul. Because Ben Askren, as you mentioned, he's going to try to put on a dirty boxing clinic.
Yep.
He's going to channel his inner Randy Couture, and he's going to smother Jake Paul and grab and hold and make this as dirty and ugly as possible. And by the way, if Ben Askren has his way, it is going to be the worst possible thing to watch. You realize that?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to, you know, give him no space, constantly grabbing him, constantly squeezing him.
That was his wrestling style. Yeah. So, yeah.
Just put all of his weight he can until the ref separates him.
Yeah.
And you know how Askren comes forward and does almost that like double jab thing? I think he's just going to try to constantly put hands in Jake's face unless he expects Jake to first tire himself out. But I don't know if he's going to want to give Jake any space at any moment in the fight. I think if Jake doesn't get rid of him in the first, you know, two or three rounds, it's probably could favor Askren in a decision by just, you know, this guy tiring out. You know, I don't know what it takes to build cardio like that to go 8 rounds, but I see a lot of professional boxers who get exhausted. I see Ryan Garcia saying that this dude has been sparring the best people for 3 years, maybe for the past 3 years, maybe he has. Jake Paul.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the tape on him looks great. People say he has quick hands, he's short punches that, you know, he moves well. So, I keep thinking when there's such a crazy fight like this, it could only end in the weirdest thing, right? Because the Jake fans are thinking Jake's going to knock him out. The Askren fans are going to like take him in deep waters and Askren's going to win by decision. I'm thinking it's not going to be an obvious thing. It's going to be some weird no contest like headbutt that ends the fight in some weird way or somehow manages to be a draw or like some weird thing is going to happen. I just don't think it's going to be those two obvious things that everyone is expecting it to be.
So I generally agree with you. It's expect the unexpected because we're living in a world where this is a pay-per-view. So yeah, we need to expect the unexpected. I guess what frustrates me is, and the thing the one thing I'm afraid of is Jake Paul comes out and within a minute and a half flatlines Askren. Because what's weird is I'm a combat sports fan. I grew up as a boxing fan and then I fell in love with mixed martial arts. Doesn't mean I abandoned boxing. And I don't view one as better than the other. But people who I believe are simply boxing fans look down on MMA. It is a completely different skill. So, but the problem is that no one wants to fight an exhibition in a cage. No one wants to have an exhibition MMA match. Jake Paul would be crazy to get in a cage with Ben Askren. Ben Askren would beat him within an inch of his life. You know, imagine if you had like old school UFC untimed rounds. By the 12th minute, he would be smothering him. He would do whatever he wanted to him. So, to me, it's frustrating because MMA takes a black eye for Ben Askren's performance, even though it's not even him performing in MMA. It's a weird phenomenon. And
I think that's why Masvidal is trying...
Yeah, well, Masvidal
tried to separate himself from, try to say, guys, this guy is not, you know, representing our sport.
Yeah, he did say
that. Side note, I hope we get a Masvidal Askren 2 fight.
Yeah, well, that would be interesting too. I, you know, because, and then the other problem is if Jake Paul wins, you know, the best way to deal with some of these loudmouths is to punch them in the face and shut them up, right? Although, unfortunately, it didn't really work with Colby Covington when Kamaru Usman literally broke his jaw. But you devalue the Pauls. You devalue this circus if you just beat them and you walk away. But if, because these are cherry-picked opponents, it's going to continue to grow. So if Jake Paul wins, what is next? What do you think is the next step?
Well, I think who he wants next is Nate Diaz is at the top of his list, and if Nate Diaz doesn't come through against Rocky, which it's a tough matchup, maybe one of the better matchups for him at the top, but still a tough matchup. He won't be favored. I think Nate will be down to beat the shit out of this kid, and that will be something to watch too.
But that answer is what depresses me about this. Is we've found this weird loophole. It's like Bizarro World from Seinfeld, where great MMA fighters can now enter the world of boxing. To fight before it was to enter the world of boxing, you'd have to take on Mayweather. That's not feasible and not an option anymore. But now you can do it against a YouTube personality. I can't stand it. And every time an MMA guy comes and he loses to a YouTuber, it hurts the credibility of MMA. And that's what I hate. It's just so right. Frustrating.
I totally get you. I think Nate would be a different story, and maybe you'd be maybe rooting for that fight as a person who could actually shut Jake up.
With
the volume that he would put forth.
So I agree with you. Well, I even what's his name? Why am I the only
Dylan Dennis was another
No. The heavy Andre Ward thought that used to spar with the Diaz brothers and said the Diaz brothers are legit. So if Nate Diaz were to fight Jake Paul or Logan Paul, I'm not worried about. I know what the outcome is. Nate Diaz will screw up either one of them. But it's just that should never happen. There are great fight. Nate Diaz is a great fighter. If I just, you know, obviously in the fight, we're taking over the world slowly but surely. if I grew to be such a personality, that doesn't mean I suddenly deserve to step in a ring and compete with a great fighter. That's what it takes away the allure and the prestige of what these guys do. I respect, even though, yes, Ben Askren was unique in that he literally just stuck to his grappling. But he was an Olympian wrestler. That has to stand. Now this Olympian wrestler is going to be boxing in a celebrity boxing match. And meanwhile, on the undercard, we have. Well, go ahead. What were you going to say? No, go for it.
No, I was going to say, I think we'll see the true competitor and will. Of Askren come through if it's his type of fight, you know, and to show you like this is a freaking Olympian here, and he knows how to win, how to get the job done, you know, and that will be something special too, I guess, even though it's against a YouTuber.
Yeah, I hope, unless you know Logan Paul, why I keep saying the wrong one, Jake Paul, just. Recognize that Askren is a beat up fighter. There's a reason he's essentially retired and, you know, didn't take this seriously. He doesn't care about what you think of him and is just taking the money. So, but meanwhile, on the prelims, we basically have the same situation because Frank Mir, former UFC heavyweight champion, is making his professional boxing debut. And it's, I mean, you know, the, and the thing with him is, it's like, this is a guy who's been knocked out several times. I don't need to see him take the punishment. Look, it does look like he's back on the TRT, though, by the way. I don't know if you've seen recent photos of him. He was getting a little flabby in Bellator, but now he's looking big again. So I don't, you know, his striking is decent. He's got decent hands. But still, I don't need to see that. He's not a boxer. He's an MMA. He's a future UFC Hall of Famer. I don't understand it. So
yeah, and Cunningham, the guy he's supposed to fight, is apparently going to be a tougher opponent than Tarver, who he was originally going to fight for fight against. And interesting enough, is Tarver and Cunningham actually fought to a split decision back in 2015, and this guy Cunningham's only been knocked out once in his career against, believe it or not, the heavyweight champion of the world, Tyson Fury. All of his losses almost are just decisions. One KO by Fury. So I mean, I imagine this guy's a tough dude.
Yeah. So
there's that.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, I guess later this year we're going to see Anderson Silva make his debut against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Then I know slightly different, but Evander Holyfield is coming back to the ring, and he's going to be fighting on the Teofimo Lopez. Well, because that's a thriller. That's going to be a thriller card. So Lopez, he's going to be in the undercard for that.
Right. Holyfield fighting on the undercard to Teofimo. Interesting. Interesting. I wouldn't have thought that. All right, guess, you know, because Holyfield's opponent.
He shouldn't have an opponent. That to me is the bottom line with that. All right, so you know we're running out of time. First thing, what is your prediction for the amount of buys this does, pay per view buys?
I'm gonna go. We'll go 1 million buys. I'm gonna be crazy.
You're going a million buys. Okay. All right. I'm gonna go 125,000. Well, so what did Logan Paul KSI?
Maybe I'm shooting for the moon here.
What did Logan Paul KSI do? What were those numbers? Do you know?
I forget. Well, that was DAZN.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Or the original one, but the original one's hard to.
Yeah.
The original one's hard to gauge because it wasn't sort of as in the zeitgeist of everything. I feel like this is a sort of a different feel. I know the Tyson thriller fight did 1.5. Maybe Jake Paul had something to do with it. I don't know.
Oh, God. All right. So, what is your prediction?
Maybe that was a crazy prediction. Maybe I'll go down to. Half a million.
What's your prediction for the fight?
Okay, let's just take out the whole craziness that I said before of no contest with accidental headbutt. I'm going to go Jake by an unfair split decision that most people don't agree with.
Okay. I have a fear that Jake Paul's going to win too, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Well, you've heard it here.
Wait, can I just say one thing?
Yeah, go for it.
It would be unfair of me to not bring up Regis Prore, who is the best fighter on this card, fighting on the Jake Paul, a legitimate boxer who's going to be contending for a title soon again. So let me just say, Regis Prore is fighting this week.
Isn't that that's the co-main, right?
Yes. So look out for him too, please.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you actually did mention that. It's good to mention the sport in it. Well, up is down, left is right. Jake Paul is going to beat Ben Askren. You've heard it here. As always, my thank you to our third man of our team, Zach the Hire Gun Messner. This has been a lot of fun. Check out Add In The Fight Show, all social media. Everyone stay safe, have a wonderful week, and enjoy the fights.